Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. As he told you, I'm from New York City, born and raised in Manhattan, so I have a little bit of an accent, I think. I don't know, it might be fading. Right? No? Still there? A little bit? All right. Okay. Anyway, this is a story based on youth, of course, when you're young. I was in my teens, and I had a really good close friend named Jesse. And Jesse wasn't always folled the straight and narrow as much. And I was questioning certain things about myself as well as, you know, doing the right thing. And I was raised Catholic. My Catholic church was right across the street from my house. I went to Catholic school. I was one of the few kids in the neighborhood who was allowed to call Father Frederick Cuencas Father Freddy, because we were cool like that, and he was a good friend. And he always had advice. He always gave advice once in a while, and sometimes I took it, sometimes I didn't. And about this time of year, and Jesse and I would always take walks and joke around and just look around the neighborhood. And one day, this early winter, there's a car double parked, and the engine's running. There's no one in the car, and the interpretation was not stealing a car. The interpretation was going for a joyride. And when you're young, that's the connotation that was created for us. And it didn't dawn on me that we actually just impulsively got in the car and just started going for a ride. Now, okay, this is a moral issue here, right? So a part of me was saying, wait a minute, we're going for a joyride. This is fun. But I think something's wrong here. And I remember going less than 5 blocks where I was just like, stop. I want out of this car now. He's like convincing me, nah, come on, we're just going to go drive around. We'll go see where the girls are so they can see us cool kids driving a nice, it was a Volvo. We were driving a Volvo. And he's just like, oh, come on. And I'm like, nope, I'm getting out the car. So I get out the car. He goes, he looks at me, see you later. He leaves. No problem. At that time, I used to have 2 jobs. I used to work at a part-time at a Cuban restaurant across the street from my house, which my parents ended up owning after a couple of years after, and I would be the barista guy. That sound rings a bell. Anyway, and then the other job I used to have, I used to deliver medications to senior citizens in the neighborhood at this other pharmacy, which was up the block from my house. So back and forth, after school, I would do one of the 2 other jobs. And then the next following day, Jesse comes up to me, and he comes into my job at the pharmacy, and he just puts $300, and he goes, this is for you. And he walks out. And my first reaction was like, oh, my God, this kid sold the car. He sold it, whatever. I'm just like, this is crazy. It turns out, and this is what Jesse tells me late after, and I absolutely believe it because this kid's a genius. He had always found ways to make money, sometimes not good, sometimes not bad, but later on in life, he turned out to be a good person. Anyway, so Jesse comes back to me, tells me, he goes, you won't believe what happened. I go in the glove compartment, I see the guy's information in there. I call up the guy, and the guy's like, oh, Jesse goes to any local auto body shop, borrows, quote unquote, borrows a clipboard of the auto body shop, pretends he's like Manny's auto body shop, calls the guy up in the glove compartment, and he tells him, yeah, I'm calling from Manny's auto body shop. Your car was towed yesterday because it was double parked in front of such and such street. And here's the weird part about it. The man who owned the car was afraid. He was so afraid because he was having an affair with some woman in that neighborhood, and he didn't want his wife to find out. So Jesse's like, oh, you can pick up your car and such. And the guy's like, no. Jesse's like, well, we provide a service. We can deliver the car to you. And the guy's like, no. He goes, we really don't. Well, you can give us a check. And the guy's like, no, I'll give you cash. So the guy comes downstairs, meets Jesse in front of his building, all paranoid, gives Jesse like $600. And he's like, gives him the keys and walks away. And Jesse comes back to me the next day, and that's where the $300 was. So I'm just like, this kid's a genius, right? All right. Turns out, I was like, man, this is, he hustled this man. despite him adulterous, maybe that's the law of karma. His adulterous ways made him lose $600, and he got his car back with an almost empty tank of gas. But that's another story. So I felt uncomfortable. I was like, I got $300 in my pocket, but it was during Christmas time. So I was just like, man, I really could use some gift buying for myself and other people. And I had a question with it. And I remember like saying, I convinced myself that I can get a lot of nice gifts for people, mostly for myself. And my family members. But then I had to explain, like, oh, where did all this money come from all of a sudden? And that's not just my job. And as I'm thinking, convincing myself, they'll be so happy with the gifts I got them, they won't even think about it. I see Father Freddy walking by, and I'm just like, oh, I should talk to him about this. Probably not. And I kind of talked to him about it. I talked to him about it in a different kind of way, where I didn't want to give him the whole details of everything. And he was like, you know, you really should think about what you're doing, and you should have a plan B. You shouldn't always go with your first plan, because it's not always right. And it so hurt me to do this, but it was a good turnout, because what happened was I just couldn't help myself. I put it in an envelope, and the next day in Mass, I just put it in the till box. And I just, like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. And I'm not going to lie to you, I questioned myself for putting it in that till box. But here's the thing. I went to work the next day, and it was a weekend, and I worked at the pharmacy. Like I told you, I used to deliver medication. I used to deliver this medicine to this old lady, Judith Halstead, and she used to be she was a retired pianist director for Juilliard. So she lived in this huge penthouse apartment, and it always took her like 10 minutes to come to the door for me to give her Ricola or whatever, her medicine, her aspirin. And she would always come to the door, and for the entire year, she would give me a nickel for a tip. And I used to say to myself, this woman lives in a penthouse apartment. Why give me a nickel? And I'm not lying to you. I would take that nickel and I would slide it right under the door. I don't need a nickel. And this would go on. And I never wondered if it was the same nickel. I should have looked to see if the date. But I never did. I don't know. In 2020 hindsight, I should have done that just to see if it was the same nickel. Turns out that it was like a couple of days before Christmas. And she comes to the door. And I remember her cute little slow self. She just comes, she goes, hey, Hank, I know I don't give you much, but here's $5. I'm like, whoa. $5. I went back to work, and I was like, Ivan, my boss, Ivan. I said, Ivan, you won't believe it, man. Ms. Halstead gave me $5. $5. I bought 5 lottery tickets. The scratch-offs, she said, hey, why not, whatever. The third ticket, I won $700. I'm not. On a stack of Bibles, I was $700. And this was 4 days before Christmas. 4 days before Christmas. And it was Ivan. I can remember the lady who worked. Ivan and the young lady who worked the cash register. We were all like, oh, my God, you won. So Ivan calls Ms. Halstead and says, Ms. Halstead, you won't believe it. Hank won $700. You know what she said? I should get 10%. The plan B was that moral issue for me to not take that money was to just put it in the till box. Thank you.